Today's daf is Erev and Daf Kuf Dalet. We are at the Mishnah, 20 lines from the bottom of Daf Kuf Gimel Amud Beis. Today's daf is being learned as a Zechus Refuah Shalema for Shlomo ben Sarah Aliza and Avadia ben Miriam Leah. Today's daf is also being learned Le'ilui Nishmas Avram ben Yibadol Chaim Toivim Rav Moshe Chaim. So we're continuing to discuss halachos and Hilchos Shabbos, specifically halachos that are nogeya b'medina avaloi b'mikdash, meaning things that one is not allowed to do on Shabbos if he's outside of the Beis HaMikdash. If, however, he's inside the Beis HaMikdash, these things were permissible. Zok de Mishnah, Koyin shelaka be'etzboy, a Koyin that has a wound on his finger. Koyruch aleo gemi be'mikdash. He's allowed to take grass, wrap it around in the Beis HaMikdash. Avaloi b'medina. But if somebody outside the Beis HaMikdash wanted to do this, it would not be okay. Vim lahoitzi dam, if he's going to wrap it around his finger so tight that blood is going to come out, kan v'kan aser, that's something that is certainly going to be aser. What's Pashup Shad in the Mishnah? For a person to wrap a little bit of grass around a wound is considered refuah b'shavas. Refuah b'Shabbos is an Issad Rabbanon, Gzeira Mishum Shchikas Samamonim. As a result, b'Medina, it's not something you're allowed to do. B'Mikdash, Ein Shvos B'Mikdash, it's something you're allowed to do. If, however, you're going to wrap it around your finger so tight that blood is going to come out, to be Moitzi Dam on Shabbos is an Issad Raisa. That's Choyvel. It's one of the Lamites Melachis. Lamites Melachis is Aser B'Medina. It's also Aser B'Mikdash. As a result, Kan V'Kan Aser, that's something that you're never going to be allowed to do. But either way, the first halacha of the Mishnah was a Koyein that has a wound on his finger, Koyruch Aleo Gemi. If he needs a band-aid, so back in the day, take a little bit of grass, wrap it around the finger. Amar Rav Yehuda B'Rei Rav Chiya, Rav Yehuda, the son of Rav Chiya, said, Loishan Aleo Gemi. The Mishnah said a koyin's allowed to wrap gemi around his finger. The Mishnah was being very precise. Only gemi is mutter. Avot tzilzul katon, but if you would take a small baguette, a tzilzul is a gartel, a small avnate to wrap around your finger would be aser, because heavy yiter begadim. It's considered a baguette. And a koyin is allowed to wear the amount of begadim that the Torah prescribed he wear. But to have less begadim or more begadim is not okay. A Kohen Hedyot wore 4 begadim, a Kohen Gadol wore 8 begadim. If a Kohen Hedyot would put on a 5th beged and do the avodah, it's a very big problem. If a Kohen Gadol would put on a 9th beged and do the avodah, it would be a big problem. So Rabbi Yehuda B'Rei Rav Chiya said that if a Kohen has a wound on his finger and he needs a band-aid and he took a little bit of cloth, a beged, and he wrapped it around his finger, that's an issue. You know why? Because now he's wearing an extra beged. So forget about Hilchos Shabbos. You have a Yitur Begadim issue. And that's something that the Kohen is not allowed to do. Rabbi Yochanan had said, no, it's not going to be a problem. Why? Because Yomer Yitur Begadim, Ela B'Makom Begadim. It's true a Kohen is not allowed to add a beged, but adding a beged is aser if you put the beged on in the place where the Kohen's wearing his other begadim. Have a shloi b'makim begadim, but to wrap it around your finger, which is not a makim begadim, like have a yitah begadim, it's not going to be considered a yitah begadim. So if a Kohen would put on an extra shirt, yeah, that would be yitah begadim. But to wrap an avnate around his finger, that's not called yitah begadim, and as a result, it's not going to be an issue. Freik the Gemara, I don't understand. But typically, mishum chatzitza, shouldn't this be a problem anyways? Don't we have a chatzitza problem? The Gemara says, b'smel, it's talking about where the Kohen had this wound in his left hand. Avodah was done with the right hand. In fact, if a Kohen does the Avodah with his left hand, it's a Pasal Avodah. Inami Bimin. Or could be it was on his right hand. Like on the back of the hand. A part of the hand that's never going to come in contact with any of the vessels that he's going to use when he does the Avodah. As a result, it's not going to be an issue. But what emerges from this last Gemara is there would seem to be a Machloikis Amayirah. Rabbi Yehuda B'Rei Rav Chiya on the one hand. Rabbi Yochanan on the other hand. A Kohen is not allowed to add a beged while he does the avodah. The question is, the iser yitur begadim, is it only b'makim begadim, or is it even shaloi b'makim begadim? Rabbi Yehuda B'Rei Rav Chiya said, it's even shaloi b'makim begadim. Rabbi Yochanan said, it's only b'makim begadim. Why are we talking about this here? Because ichapsa nafkemina in the halacha of the Mishnah. The halacha of the Mishnah was a koyin that has a wound on Shabbos, he's allowed to be koruch alei gemi, shchikas samamonim is a shvos, ain't shvos b'mikdash. The question is gemi dafka, or is gemi lav dafka? What if you want it wrap a beggar. Read the Rebbe. Rebbe Chiya said you can't wrap a beggar. Why? You to begadim. It's the finger. It's loy b'makom begadim. It doesn't matter. Rabbi Yochanan says no. You would be able to wrap a beged. Why are you allowed to wrap a beged? Isn't it yitur begadim? No, because it's shloim b'makom begadim, and there's no yitur begadim. Shloim b'makom begadim. Zok de Gemara. This discussion in the Amirah is upliga de Rav. It seems to be not like Rav. Amar Rav. Rav said Amar Rav Chizda. Name Rav Chizda. Rav Shver b'makom begadim. Afilo nima achas chaytzetzes. If a person would add a beged b'makom begadim, even a nima achas, doesn't matter how small it is, it's a problem. Shloim b'makom begadim. If you would add it, shloim b'makom begadim. Shalosh al shalosh chaytzetzes. If it's three etzbayis al three etzbayis, which is always in all areas of halacha, the minimum shear of a chashuv beged, it would be a problem. Pachos mishalosh al shalosh. If it would be less than that, einon chaytzetzes, it wouldn't be chaytzetz. So we have a new shita as it relates to yitur begadim, shaloi b'makim begadim. So the Gemara works it out. Ad Rabbi Yochanan v'adei pliga. That's clear. Rav is arguing with Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan said there's no yitur begadim. Shaloi b'makim begadim. What did Rava say? If the beged is chashuv, it's gimel etzbayis, al gimel etzbayis, even if it's shaloi b'makim begadim, it is going to be a problem of yitur begadim. So clearly, Rava and Rabbi Yochanan are at odds with each other. Zok de Gemara ad Rabbi Yehuda, b'rei de Rav Chiya minema pliga. Is it muchach that Rav is also arguing with Rabbi Yehuda b'rei de Rav Chiya? Why? Because Rabbi Yehuda b'rei de Rav Chiya said that a tziltzol katan, a small Ezer, a small gartel, would be a problem. Even shaloi b'makom begadim. What did Rava say? It has to be gimel atzbayis, al gimel atzbayis. The assumption is this little tziltzol is probably smaller than gimel atzbayis, al gimel atzbayis, and still you see he held it was an issue. So that's for sure Rabbi Yochanan and Rava don't agree. It's mashma that even Rabbi Yudabrei Rav Chiya and Rava don't agree. In other words, Rava's a third sheet, but the Gemara says it's not muchesh, ani tziltzol katan dechashav. It could be a tziltzol katan is like a beggar that's gimel atzbayis, al gimel atzbayis, because at the end of the day, the whole point of gimel atzbayis, al gimel atzbayis, what's the punch? Line. It's chashav. A tziltzol katan is also chashav. So it could be it's not three shitas, rather it could be it's two shitas. Lishna achirina, another version in the discussion between Rabbi Yehuda b'rei de Rav Chiya and Rabbi Yochanan. Amri l'omer Rabbi Yehuda b'rei de Rav Chiya. Rabbi Yehuda b'rei de Rav Chiya commented in our Mishnah. Again, the Mishnah said a kohen that has a wound on his finger, he could take gemi and wrap it around as long as it's in the Beis HaMikdash. What would be the reason it should be a problem? Refuah b'Shabbos. Why is it mutter? Because refuah b'Shabbos is only awesome in the Rabbanon. It's a gzeirim yishum shechika samimonim. Ein shvus b'mikdash. So on that halacha, the Mishnah, Rabbi Yehuda b'rei de Rav Chiya commented, and he said, "Loishanu elagemi avotzulzol katan chaytzitz." That's the same Rabbi Yehuda b'rei de Rav Chiya as we had in the first Lishna. What's the problem with a tzulzol katan? Again, because you have a problem of yitur begadim. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, Rabbi Yochanan said, "Lo yamru chatzitz b'pachos mishalosh al shalosh." Ela b'makim begadim. The only time it's a problem is if it's b'makim begadim. Avos shaloi b'makim begadim. If it's shaloi b'makim begadim, then if it's shalosh al shalosh, it's chaytzitzitz. If it's three etzbayis by three etzbayis, it's going to be an issue. Pachos mishalosh ain't chaytz. But if it's less than gimel etzbayis, like gimel etzbayis, it's not going to be a problem. Now, what's different between the first lishna and the second lishna? Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yehuda b'rei de Rav Chiya is the same Rabbi Yehuda b'rei de Rav Chiya. What changed was Rabbi Yochanan. In the first lishna, what did Rabbi Yochanan say? Shaloi b'makim begadim. There's no such thing as yitur begadim. In the second lishna, what did Rabbi Yochanan say? Shaloi b'makim begadim. If it's less than gimel etzbayis, al gimel etzbayis, it's not going to be a problem. Now, whose shita was that? The Rabbi Yochanan in the second lishna, that was Rava. Zok de Gemara. Next words, v'hainu de Rava, am Rav Chizda. That's what Rava said in the name of Rav Chizda. So according to the second lishna, there's no machloikis between Rabbi Yochanan and Rava b'rei Rav Chizda. In fact, Rabbi Yochanan literally said verbatim what Rava said in the name of Rav Chizda. But however, the Gemara fears ice, what it feared ice in the first lishna. Lema pliga de Rav Yehuda b'rei de Rav Chiya. However, should we assume that Rav Chizda is, or Rava Amar Rav Chiya is arguing with Rav Yehuda b'rei de Rav Chiya, Mar says it's not muchas, shani tziltzol katan dechashav. It could be a tziltzol katan is different, and as a result, maybe b'yisoid he agrees to what Rabbi Yochanan said. He agrees to what Rava said in the name of Rav Chiya, that ordinarily the shir is gimel etzbayis al gimel etzbayis. But as it relates to a tziltzol katan is chashav, and being that it's chashav, even shaloi b'makim begadim, it's going to be a problem of yitur begadim. Zok de Gemara ul Rabbi Yochanan, according to Rabbi Yochanan, that said what? That said that koyin shalaka betzboi koyrach aleu gemi is lav dafka. You could even put a baguette there. Why could you put a baguette? Either because Rabbi Yochanan holds there's no such thing as yitur begadim shalei b'makim begadim, or Rabbi Yochanan holds really there is such a thing as yitur begadim shalei b'makim begadim, but only if it's gimelat spice or gimelat spice. He doesn't subscribe to the theory that a tziltzul katan, being that it's chashev, is a problem of yitur begadim, even shalei b'makim begadim. So what's the obvious question? Why did the Mishnah say gemi? Mishnah should have said tziltzul katan. Lishmein and tziltzul katan, which is a chiddush, to tell me that there's no yitur begadim even by tziltzul katan. How do you know it's a chiddush? Because if you debate Rav Chiya holds, you can't even do it. So obviously it's a chiddush. So the Gemara says milsav agav orchi kamashmulan degemi masi. No, the time of the Mishnah wanted a bederech agav, throw in a little in yonei refu. Meaning we could have said a bigger chiddush in halacha, or we could say a bigger chiddush in refu. And the time of the Mishnah referred to tell me the bigger chiddush in refu. Like this, people will know you have a wound, you don't have a band-aid. This is back in the day. Take a little bit of gemi, wrap it around your finger, and you're gonna see, it's going to heal. And how do you see that in the Mishnah? Because the Mishnah says you can't do it on Shabbos, which means it's a davar shel refuah. Refuah b'Shabbos. But the point is, we wanted an agav urchi, tell me the halacha in Hilchis refuah, as opposed to tell me the halacha of agav urchi with regards to chatzitza. I mean, the truth is, the fact that gemi is a davar shel refuah is a chiddush in and of itself in halacha, because obviously it means you can't do it in Medina, you could do it in the Beis HaMikdash. So just getting a little excited. But the point is, what we have over here is a very straightforward Mishnah. A Kohen has a wound, he wants to wrap a little bit of gemi around his finger on Shabbos. Ordinarily you wouldn't be able to do it, it's refuah b'Shabbos. In the Beis HaMikdash, this is the theme of the end of Masechtas Erevin. And as a result, in the Beis HaMikdash, this is something that you would be allowed to do. The Mishnah Pigemi, it sounds like from the Mishnah, if you wanted to wrap a baguette around, it wouldn't be okay. What would be the Svara? Why should a baguette be a problem? Oh, because a coin can't have extra begadim. It's time to stop putting bandages on. Maybe there's a baguette. Maybe there's a yitu begadim problem. The coin can't be mechusa begadim. It can't be meyutu begadim either. So maybe that would be the issue. From there, the Gemara got involved in a discussion. Is there a problem of yitur begadim? Shaloi b'makim begadim. B'makim begadim havada. What about shaloi b'makim begadim? And what emerges is three possible shitas. Either shaloi b'makim begadim, no worries. That's Rabbi Yochanan in the first Lishna. Or even shaloi b'makim begadim, it's very much a problem. That's Rabbi Yehuda b'Rav Chiya. And then there's this middle shita. Shaloi b'makim begadim, it'd have to be a chashev beged. What's a chashev beged? Gimel al gimel, maybe a small tzitzel is also considered chashev. Meaning b'makim begadim, even anima achas. Shaloi b'makim begadim, there would be an issue. The standard, however, is going to be different. Zakta Mishnah. Again, we're jumping from topic to topic. Boiskin melech al gabi kevesh b'shvul shalo yachliku. So we're discussing the kevesh, the ramp. The ramp of the Mizbeach Achitzoin. That was the big Mizbeach that was in the Azara. And it got slippery sometimes. So the Mishnah says you're allowed to pour salt on the ramp so that the Kayhanim aren't going to go slipping and sliding as they go up and down the ramp. The chiddush, of course, is that you're allowed to do this on Shabbos. Although the Gemara is going to have a problem with this, not only should it be problematic on Shabbos, but maybe this should even be problematic during the week. We'll see. Umemala mibayr ha-goyla, another halacha unrelated. You're allowed to take water from the boyr ha-goyla and from the boyr ha-godol. So these were two different wells that were in the Azara that ordinarily the Kehanim would take water from. And the Mishnah is saying you're allowed to take water from these two wells even on Shabbos, the Gilgal, the Shabbos, the Chiddush is you can even use the Gilgal. That's the hole. That's the contraption that was used to take the water out. Umi Ber Hakar, as it relates to the Ber Hakar, there was some other wellspring, we'll see about that in the Gemara. Beyond if that, you would be allowed to take from on Yontif. So the first halacha of the Mishnah was, Boiskin Melech Agabi Kevesh, Bilshvil Shalo Yachliku. It sounds like you would have thought that to pour salt on the ramp of the Mizbeach really would be an issue. Kamash Malon, you can. And by the way, it sounds like only the Kevesh and the Beis HaMikdash you can. But outside the Beis HaMikdash, you cannot. So what's the issue with pouring salt on the ramp? So we'll see in the Gemara that the issue is Boina. Because when you pour salt on the ramp, inevitably you're going to fill certain gumois, certain little ditches and crevices and holes that you have in the ramp. And we know Ashvuye Gumis is a problem. In fact, in Masechta Shabbos, we saw many times that there were things that the Chachamim prohibited one from doing. Gzeira Mishom Ashvuye Gumis. Right? Ashvuye Gumis is one of the big things that Chazal were always worried about. Shemi Yaviren Odal Aram Special Sarabim, Shchik Samamonim, Yisakin Klishir, like we spoke about last time. This was one of the things that came up a lot. That Ashvuye Gumis. So you really, what you're doing is you're filling Gumis. Now, if that's the case, Ashvuye Gumis is seemingly an Issa Deiraisa. If it's an Issa Deiraisa, why is it mutter in the Beis HaMikdash. So hopefully from the sugya we'll have a little bit of a mahalach. But at first glance, it's tzarech bir. Zok the Gemara, Rami le Rav Ikum mi pashrun yu le Rav. Rav Ikum mi pashrun asked Rav the following question. Time we learned in our Mishnah. Poiske melech agavi kevich b'shush le yachliku. You're allowed to pour salt on the ramp of the Beis HaMikdash like this. People aren't going to fall. But Mikdash in Medina light. Sounds like only the Beis HaMikdash is okay. But outside the Beis HaMikdash it's not okay. Vermin el asked you a kasha. He said, chotzer shem eskalk, let me make shaman. Person has a chotzer. His front yard, his backyard. We're learning Erev and we know what a chotzer is. And it got very, very muddy. Maybe Tevin, he's allowed to bring straw. Umeradaba. And you're allowed to pour straw on top of the muds like this. People aren't going to get dirty. They're not going to slip. So what's the kasha? This is B'medina. So what's the difference between salt and Tevin? So the Gemara says it's different. Shani, Tevin, delomavatale. Tevin, a person's not going to leave there for a long time. Why? Because Tevin is Roy Lachila. Not Michael Adam, but Michael Behema. So your Behemas are going to eat it, so why would you leave it there? It's a chaval. Salt, however, is something that is not Roy Lachila. As a result, if you pour salt on the ground, you're going to leave it there. What's the point? What's the Isser? The Isser is Ashvuyei Gumois. So Tevin, there's no real Ashvuyei Gumois. It's there temporarily. Melach is there permanently, and as a result, you have a problem of Ashvuyegos. The melech that the Mishnah said is okay to pour on the ramp on Shabbos in the Beis HaMikdash. What are we talking about? Are you going to leave it there? Aren't you being moisif on the ramp? And the pasuk says, "Hakol b'ksav miad Hashem olai hiskel." This is a very important kutchim pasuk. It's a pasuk in Yecheskel, and we learn from this pasuk that all the dimensions of the Beis HaMikdash were super precise. Right? We know that the Mishkan, the Bayis Rishon, Bayis Sheni, Bayis Shlishi, they weren't all created equally. They all had different halachas of dimensions, how big they were, how small they were, different kalim. Right? There were many, many, many nuances, but each independent Beis HaMikdash was built al pi Nevi'im, and as a result, whatever the Navi said you have to do had to be done. Hakol b'ksav miyad Hashem alai hiskel. Everything was done al pi Nevu'ah. And it was very, very, you weren't allowed to add anything. So the question, how can you just pour salt on top of the kevesh? You're going to add a little bit of, it could be very, very small, but who cares? The little thickness that you're adding to the kevesh now, why isn't that a violation of this famous, important pasuk? Hakol b'ksav miyad Hashem alai hiskel. Either loy, and if you're not going to leave it there, aren't you creating a chatzitza problem? So the Gemara says, really, you're not going to leave it there. You're going to remove it. However, the reason it's not a chatzitza is because they didn't leave it there for a long time. They left it there during very precise times. What was the precise time that they left it there? They put it there while the Kehanim were bringing the Ivarim. Right, the Ivarim were very big. They had to carry these big limbs up the ramp. So they were afraid that they were going to slip then. So that's when they would pour the salt. The Kehanim would bring the everything up, and then they would quickly go and they would remove the salt. But the Gemara says, Valoi. Meaning, what's the point? Being that it was only done while the Ivarim were being brought up the ramp, bringing the Ivarim up the ramp is not an avoida. If it's not an avoida, there's no problem of chatzitza. Chatzitza is while you're doing the avoida. Right? What's the chatzitza? Just to be clear, the kohen's feet have to be on the ground. Can't be anything between the kohen's feet and the ground. So the kasha is, why isn't the salt considered a chatzitza? Right? It's a little bit of a maman of shach, right? Just to speak out the Gemara a little better, flesh it out. If you're leaving the salt there, you're adding to the binyan. It's not a chatzitza, because you just increase the thickness of the floor. The problem is, you're not allowed to do that. And if you're going to remove it, then it's not really part of the floor. So then it's interposing between you and the floor. And if that's the case, it should be a chatzitza. So the Gemara says, really, you're going to remove it? Ah, isn't it a chatzitza? You didn't put it there, b'shas avoida. When was it there? It was there when the Kehanim were bringing the Ivarim up the ramp. Being that that's not an avoida, so you're not going to have a chatzitza problem. But the Gemara says, how could you say bringing the Ivarim up the ramp is not an avoida? Because if it's a pasuk, v'hikriv hakoyen es hakoyl, v'hikter ha-mizbechel, amamar, zu ha-ilachas Ivarim lekevesh, that this is ha-ilachas Ivarim lekevesh, see, it is considered avoida. Elway, ema ba-ilachas eitzam lemarach. You're right. They didn't put it there when they couldn't have the salt there while they were bringing the Ivarim. When they bring the Ivarim, the Kohen just had to be more careful. When did they have it there? When they were bringing the Eitzim. The Eitzim was also very heavy. It was a big deal. And that's when they poured the salt. The Lav Avoidi, that is definitely not an Avoida. So the bottom line is, before we just finish the Gemara, so what do you see from here? So go back to the Mishnah. Boiskin melech al gabi kevesh b'shvil shalo yachlik. We said, what would be the problem? Presumably the problem is Ashvuyegumais. Ashvuyegumais is an Isadei Raisa. So why is it mutter in the Beis HaMikdash? So the teretz is, after learning the Gemara, that really you're not leaving it there permanently. You're only leaving it there temporarily. Being that it's only temporary, it's not considered Ashvuyei Gumos. You'll tell me maybe Midrabanan. The bottom line is Ein Shvus B'Mikdash anyways. But the thing that it's only temporary, so it's for that reason it's not going to be an issue. Darash Rav, a chatzer should eskalkel make shavim. If someone has a chatzer and the chatzer got all messed up because of rain, this is Shabbos. Maybe tevin merad, but you let it bring straw, you let it pour the straw on top of the mud. Amalei, Rav, papa the Rav of Atanya, then we learn in a braisa, kashum merad, ein merad, alei besav, alei bekupa. When you pour salt on or tevin on the mud on Shabbos, you're not allowed to put it in a sal and just put it there. Ela b'shulei kupa. So you have to take the bottom of a kupa. So a kupa is a basket. It sounds like a broken basket. Take the bottom. Do it with a shinoi. So Rav Papa told Rav, Rav, why didn't you say shinoi? Rav is a poisek. So Rav gets up. He darshins, darash Rav. This is a drasha. So he said, Rav, Rav Papa told Rav, you're misleading the oilam. You're telling me you're allowed to put straw because it's not a shviyei gumois, because eventually you're going to remove it, you're going to give it to the animals. Okay, but don't you have to tell people that you can't do it with a sal or a kupa, which would be the conventional way of doing it? You have to do it b'shulei kupa. So the Gemara says what it often says. It's a fascinating case study. How often you find this? Hadar oikim Rava Amayra Levadarsh. Rava was chayzer. Right? How many times do you have in Shas Hada Amay Rava? Could be this ties into the humility of Rava. Rava who used to daven v'nafshi ka'ofar la'koyel tiyah. Rava who we paskin like over Abaya. And we know that whenever it comes to Psak Halacha, Darkei Yanova, such as Beis Hillel and Halach Kirebi Mechaveiro, etc., etc., Rabbi Yosef always plays a role. But the bottom line is, Rav Darshan, and he said, Varm Shamarti Lefnechem Toyos Hem Biyadi. You're right. My drasha yesterday was a mistake. Brum. This is the emes. Kach Amr Mishum Rabbi Loza, not Rabbi Yezek. Shum Merada. In a Merada, Loi Vesava, Loi Bekupa, Ela Bishule Kupi. So I made a mistake. I told it to you as if it's mutter to do it in the good old fashioned way. It's natural. You have to do it with a shino. Unless you do it with a shino, it's not going to be okay. The Mishnah had a safe. What was the safe of the Mishnah? Umemalin mibar or bear ha goyla umibar ha gadol begalgal b'shabbos. So you're allowed to fill up water from these two wells, the bar ha goyla and the bar ha gadol. The chiddush is you could do it with the galgal, you could do it with the hall, you could do it with the contraption. Zokta Gemara on that note, meaning just before the Gemara, why would it be a problem? Like, what would you think might be the issue? So the Gemara is going to come from a very interesting angle. But first, we preface it with a story. Ula ikla lebei Rav Menashe. Ula was once in Rav Menashe's house. Asa hu gavra. Somebody came to Rav Menashe, taref above, and he was knocking on the door. Omar. So Rav Menashe said, man hai lischol guf. Man hai, who's this person that's knocking? Lischol gufe. May something bad happen to his guf. To come mochalei l'shabata. Because he's being mechal Shabbos. He was knocking on the door. Why was he being mechal Shabbos? Because he was making noise. Not let him make noise. Just like you're not allowed to play music. So if you make, you knock, especially with a rhythm, so this could be a problem. So he was very upset. He was knocking. And he had you let him knock on Shabbos. Oh, Rabbi, so Rabbi was there. He said, Le'yasra el kol shel shir. So Rabbi said, no, you're not allowed to knock on a door. You're not allowed to play music. If it's kol shel shir, if it's musical, it's not musical. Somebody's just banging on the door. Isfe Abaya. So Abaya asked Rabbi Akasha. He said, Mailin b'diyoyfi daloch is umatif and miyarak l'chayla b'Shabbos. You're allowed to pour water from, or wine, from one vessel to another vessel with a diyoypi. That was some sort of contraption that was used. Additionally, you're allowed to have water drip from a yarak, that's some other vessel, for a chayla on Shabbos. So we'll see in the Gemara, what was this yarak used for? So they would have some system where water would drip out of the yarak and it would make noise. And it was used for the chayla. The chayla, who had a hard time falling asleep, would sometimes use the yarak as nice background music, in quotations, to help him fall asleep. If the chayla needed to wake up and they didn't want to like wake him up abruptly, so they would use the yarak. That was like a nice way to softly wake him up. Either way, the halach is matifin miyarak l'chayla b'Shabbos. This is something you're allowed to do for a chayla on Shabbos. So what was the diak? Abaye was like chayla in the bar yilai. It sounds like you could do it for a chayla. For a chayla, there's a lot of things that really you're not allowed to do that we allow you to do. But for a bari, a gezunta, this is not something you're allowed to do. It's like, mar hechidami, lav denayim v'kabayit l'ter. Aren't we talking about with somebody that was sleeping, we're trying to wake him up? And if that's the case, that sound that wakes the person up doesn't have a rhythm. It's not a kol shel shir. It just makes a little bit of noise, right? An alarm clock doesn't have to be a symphony. It just has to make noise to wake you up. So presumably it just made noise. And if that's the case, Shmam, you know. So what do you see from there? If that's the case, why could you only use the Yarak to wake up the Chayla? You should be able to wake up the Bari as well. Elamai, because it's making noise. Ay, it's not a kosher shir. So you see, even if it's not a kosher shir, it's going to be able to. So he said, Loi, the tear, v'kabayim l'lam. So Rabbi said, who said? Maybe what we're referring to is a Chayla that's awake, and we're trying to get him to sleep, and we're making noise to put him to sleep. That rhythm was already a kol shel shir. I guess it was a different rhythm. So that rhythm is a kol shel shir. I mean that it's a kol shel shir. So over there, it's going to be aser. The mishtamik he called the zamzumi, because it sounds like someone's playing with an instrument. But enochinami, if all you do is making noise and it has no reminiscence to an instrument, in that case, it's not going to be a problem. Esav efrek the gemara another kasha meshamir peiros when they oifes v'dolav him neachayo. If somebody's watching his peiros because he didn't want the oifes to take his peiros, or he's watching his gourds because he doesn't want to to take it. Halachas b'shamir kedarki b'shabbos. You do it even on Shabbos. Uvavad shlo yisapik uvelo yitapech velo yirakit kederek shem moysim b'chayil. So I guess if somebody has an animal that's going after his gourds, I've never tried this, and you're trying to get him to run away, say you start clapping and springing and you start making a whole gerida, right? That's what it sounds like. So the halach is that you can't do on Shabbos. So if you want to watch your peiros on Shabbos, that's okay. But to start clapping and doing this, it is not okay. And one says, my timer, what's the reason? Probably because you're making noise. Now, when you clap to try to get an animal to go away, what, you're playing a symphony? No, you're not trying to serenade the animal. You're just making a noise to get him scared, so like this will run. So if that's the case, why is it a problem? Elamai, you see that anytime you make noise, it's an issue. The reason it's us, I ain't doing making noise. The reason it's us is because we're afraid that if you're going to try to get the animal to go away this way, you may pick up a rock, throw it at him, right? That's always a plan B. And if you do that, now you metal to muktza. That's already a whole different issue. Women that used to play with egoism, they used to play with nuts. Aser, then I'll let them do it on Shabbos. Why not? My time, allowed to come my little color. Probably because they used to make noise. And it's the noise that's a problem. Even though it's not a kosher shir. So again, you have a riot, they're making noise, even if it's not a kosher, it's going to be like, the problem is something else, because you're sitting on the floor, we just mentioned this a moment ago, could be it's us as a gzera of ashviye gumois. You're going to see on the floor is a little ditch, so you're going to want to go, right, there were no real floors like we have today. So if there was a hole in the ground, you know, this might be in your living room. So you're going to go and you're going to want to plug the hole. That's why this wasn't it. I'll prove it to you. Women are allowed to play with women that play with apples, aser, hasamaylu, they call it. So I guess if you play with a goyzim, it made noise. You play with tapuchim, didn't make noise. And still you see it's aser. So what's the problem over there? If the reason a goyzim is a problem because of the noise, it should be mutter by tapuchim. Yet you see tapuchim is also elo must be, must be it's for a completely different reason. So far, we have no idea why we're discussing this, right? The Gemara's just totally digressed on us. Ula was by Rav Menashe. Somebody came, he knocked on the door, and all of a sudden this major halachic debate erupted. Are you allowed to knock on a door on Shabbos? Why not? You're making noise. Why, yeah? So what? Meaning kol shel shir is a problem, maybe. But if it's not a kol shel shir, what could possibly be the issue? So what does it have to do with our Mishnah? So the Gemara, it has very much to do with our Mishnah. Because what does say for the Mishnah say? Tnan, memale mibar ha-goyle mibar ha-goyle b'galgo b'shabes. B'mikdash em b'medim ha-loy. Mishnah said you're allowed to take water using the contraption from a well in the Beis HaMikdash. But outside the Beis HaMikdash sounds like not. My timer, what's the reason? What would be the isner outside the Beis HaMikdash? Sounds like some isner derabbanan over here. Lav mishum daylu they call of us. Probably, because you're making noise. So the Beis HaMikdash, it's moter, inshlos b'mikdash. But b'medina, it's aser. So it sounds clearly because you make, now that noise that you make when you wheel up the water is not koil shel shir. This is not kikola dizamzumi. It doesn't sound like you have an orchestra playing music. This is stam. It just makes a big noise. It makes a lot of tumult. So, and still you see it's aser. So isn't this a raya? Not like Rabbah, that all koilas are aser. So the Gemara says, loy, has nothing to do with that. The reason this is something that would be aser in Medina is not because of the noise, but shemi yamal ligin aser l'chavasi. We're afraid that if you're going to take water out of a well, the next thing you know, you're going to be working in your garden. And that's already, of course, something that's also. This is a new gzera. Shemi yamali leginasai ulechurvasai. So on that note, amemer shara lemimla begilgala bemechusa. Amemer, allowed the oilam and mechuzah. Usually when you have takanas and mechuzah, it was rafa. But here it's Amemar. So Amemar allowed the oilam in mechuzah to use the Gilgal. Amar, he said, why? He made a chesh. My time, it goes to Rabbanah. Why do Rabbanah say it's a problem? Shema yimali ginasu l'chavasi. Hachal ha-gin ikav le'chur ve'ikav. Right, in mechuzah, they didn't get very dirty. There was no gina, there was no churva. So he said, if that's the case, I have nothing to worry about. Mar says, "Kimin the chaza, the kataruba kisna." Then he saw they were taking it and they were soaking their flax. So the Gemara says, "Aser, that already he realized is going to be a problem." Rashi says, "Taru bakisna shayrim ba pishtam b'chayil." He saw during the week they used to use it to wash their flax. But the point is, he saw that there was some commercial use that they did, even the mefunakim in mechuzah. So he realized they do the laundry, they do something. So if that's the case, he said, now I'm already concerned. So I'm going to go and make the gzeira. The Mishnah said that in the Beis HaMikdash, you were allowed to take water from the Beir HaGoyel and the Beir HaGadol. Big Gilgal again. Now we know pshat in this. Because the Medina, it's a problem. Because we're afraid, Shema Yimale, Liginasayu Lechurvasay. The Mikdash, we don't make gzeiras. Mikdash, the rule is ain't shvus be mikdash. But the Sefer, the Mishnah said that at the same time, umiber hakir, you're allowed to take from this ber hakir, but that's something you're only allowed to take on Yontif, clearly implying not on Shabbos. But on Yontif, this is something that you're allowed to do. So, my ber hakir, what is this? Amash shmu bar, shehikro leu dvarim vehitiru. This is a bar where there was a big tumult, and ultimately the chachamim went and they issued a very big kula. Meaning, ordinarily, you would not be able to take water from a bear outside of the Beis HaMikdash, like we just mentioned. But this bear was different. This bear, the Chachamim allowed one to go ahead and take water. Zokta Gemara Meisvei, how could you say that? Meaning, it sounds like this was a very specific bear. And it was called the Ber Hakir because of a Maisa Shahoya Kachay. We'll see more about this. But Frank the Gemara, a Brisa said, Loi Kala Boiris Hakiris Itiru, Elo Zubavad. Not all the Boiris Hakiris, only this one. Now, E Amateur Gudvar Malev. If you can tell me the reason it's called Bar Hakiris because of an event that took place, Mai Zubavad. What do you mean? All the Boiris Hakiris? This is the only one that's the bear or boir hakir because of this Maisa Shahoya Kachaya. So, in terms of the definition of Ber Hakir, it can't be that it's called that because of the story, because then you wouldn't have all the Beir Sakir, with this being the exception. This would be the only one that's called the Beir Sakir because it got its name precisely because of the story, because of the exception. Elom Rav Nachum by Yitzchak, Be'er Mayim Chayim. You're right. The word Beir Sakir just means a Be'er Mayim Chayim. It's a spring, Shenemar, and it's the word comes from a pasuk in Yirmiyahu, Kehokir Beir Meimeo. Just like a spring, as water flows, so it's Miloshin flowing. Zakhti Gemara Gufa. So what's the rest of the story? What's the unique about this bear? What was the story? When the Bnei HaGoyla came up from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael in the beginning of Bayesheni, they came to this bear and it was Shabbos and they needed water. The Nevi'im allowed them to take water. Then the Gemara says it wasn't really the Nevi'im. It was the Chachamim. But the bottom line is that there was some heter because of a Maisa Shaya Kachaya as it relates to that bar, and it's for this reason this bar always became a kula de gabar, whereas ordinarily to take from a bar really would be a problem, but to take from that bar, even the Medina on Yontif, is going to be okay. Next Mishnah, next topic. Talk to Mishnah. Sheret shenim tzav mikdash. If a person has, you're in the Beis HaMikdash, and all of a sudden you see a sheretz, that's a bad thing. Now we're talking about one of the Shmoyne Shratzim. One of the Shmoyne Shratzim whose nevela is metama. Tumah Sheretz is one of the Tumahs. A Sheretz is an Avatoma. It's a source of Tumah. So a Sheretz is in the Beis HaMikdash. Diferlach. Koyim Maitzia Behem Yonah. So the Koyin has to get to work and he has to do this really fast. So what does she do? He should take his gartel. He should take the gartel and he should wrap the Sheretz in his gartel. Shaloi Lishoy says HaTumah. So that the Tumah is not going to remain in the Beis HaMikdash. Divri Rabbi Yochanan Ben Broita. Why doesn't he just pick up the Sheretz by the lapels and take it out? The reason is because if the kohen's going to touch the sheretz, he's now going to become tameh. Now, the truth is, if you pick it up with the avnate's going to become tameh. But we'd rather the avnate become tameh than the kohen become tameh. So therefore, don't pick it up by yourself. Quickly take off the gartel. With the gartel, you should remove it. Divrei Rabbi Yochanan ben Broicha. Rabbi Huda argued. He said, "Bitzvas shaleitz. What you should do is don't take the gartel. Why would you be metame the gartel? The gartel's big day kahuna. It has kedusha, even though it was shatnez. But it had kedusha. So if it had kedusha, so why would you do that? Rather, what you should do is you should try to take two wooden sticks and pick it up with wooden sticks. And why should you do that? Shalei l'rab. It's a satoma. Because why would you just increase tumah? By being metame the avnet, you're increasing tumah in the world. That's not a good thing. Rather, what you should do is wood is why wood? Because wood that doesn't have a receptacle is what's known in the vernacular as pshutei kliyetz. Pshutei kliyetz is not mekabel tumah. So what you should do is take pshutei kliyetz, and that's the way you should do it. So if you look carefully, we have a machloikis over here. Right? This is a very yisoidi machloikis. A kohen suddenly found the sheretz in the Beis HaMikdash. So what do you have to do? Remove it. That's easy. But the question is, how should you remove it? There were two ideas. Rabbi Yechim and Breika said, take your gartel and remove it. Rabbi Yehuda said, no, try to find wooden sticks and remove it that way. There are pros and cons to doing it both ways. If you take your gartel, you're going to move it out immediately. Because you wear your gartel. So just take the gartel off and remove it that way. That's the quickest way to do it. It comes with an invoice, though. What's the invoice? You were mar betuma. You were just metame de avne. If you start looking for sticks, so it's a maila that you're not being mar betuma. Because the sticks are not even mekabel tuma. So you weren't mar betuma. So you did something very, very smart from that standpoint. The problem is, until you find it, you have a sheretz that's sitting in the Beis HaMikdash, which is not a good thing. So here's the question. What should we focus on? Get it out as quickly as possible? Is that the objective? Or is the objective not to be mar betuma? Rabbi Yochanan ben Broika said, "Mitzia behem yonai." Because what's the focus? Shalei lishoy says atuma. Just get it out as quickly as possible. I'll be mar betuma, which I do. I'm stuck. I have a problem here. I'm stuck between a rock and a hard place. What do I do? Should I be mar betuma? So that's the eitzah. What did Yehuda say? No, he said use eitz. Why? Not shalei lashes says atuma. What's the focus? Shalei l'rabbe says atuma. I don't want more tuma. Eich mitzia noisam. We're in the Beis HaMikdash. Should you remove it? Now, one other thing. I mean, there's a long rashi here that goes through everything. But one other thing that we should just speak out. Obviously, we're discussing Shabbos. Now, obviously, this is also true during the week. But Shabbos is unique in that on Shabbos, in addition to everything else, is a muktzah problem. Sheretz is muktzah, right? We're dealing with a dead sheretz over here. So you're dealing with a muktzah problem as well. So being that you're dealing with a muktzah problem, so that's where this comes in. Nehecham haitzia noisai, where should you take it out from? Meaning, if there's no muktzah, so anywhere in the Beis HaMikdash you remove it. What's the shaila? But being that we're dealing with a muktzah problem, so maybe we're going to be sensitive only in certain areas, and there we're going to say, even though it's muktzah, remove it. But maybe in other places, not. So the Mishnah says something very surprising. Min ha-hechel, if it's in the hechel, take it out. Umin ha-ulam, if it's in the ulam, right? That's the chamber that was between the azara and the hechel. If you wanted to go from the azara, that's the courtyard, into the hechel, you had to go through the ulam. So from the ulam, you should remove it as well. Umi bein ha-ulam ulam mizbech. And if it's in the area that's between the ulam and the mizbech, meaning in the azara, but that space between the ulam and the mizbech, you should remove it from there as well. These were places that had higher levels of kedusha, and as a result, you're supposed to remove it. Divrei Rav Shimon ben Nanas. Rabbi Kiva said, "Kol makom shechayovan al zdoinei kares v'al shigegasei chatos misham mitzian oisai." Any part of the azara that if somebody was tame, he would walk in there, and he did a bemezi b'chayiv kares, doesn't show you b'chayiv chatos. The halach is you have to remove it. Meaning any part of the azara, if it's azara, if it has kedusha azara, not only elitist parts of the Azara. The entire Azara is going to be included in this halacha that you remove it on Shabbos. The Shar Kolam HaKoymes, what if you find it in one of the other places? Meaning it's not the Hechel, the Ulam, or Beina Ulam of the Mizbeach, according to Rav Shimon ben Anas. Or it's not even a Mokam Shechayav and Azlein Ekaz, Shechaz, Chaz, Akhund, Rabbi Kiva. If it's another place, anywhere else, what do you do then? Zok, the Mishnah, Koyfen, Olav, Psachter. You should take a copper keli, you should put it on top of it, then after Shabbos, remove it. Shimon Omer, Shimon says, "Makom shetiru lecha chachamim mishalcha nasnu lecha shalei hitiru lecha ele mishum shvos." Rav Shimon concludes the Mishnayos and Masechta Zeirvin with a little bit of a riddle. We'll see what that means be'ezras Hashem when we finish the Masechta. But for now, a little bit more Gemara. Am Rav Tavi Bar Kisna, Mar Shmuel. Rav Tavi Bar Kisna said in the name of Shmuel a very big chiddush. Hamachnis tamei sheretz lemikdash chayev. If somebody takes a keli that became tamei because it came in contact with a sheretz, and he brings it into the Beis HaMikdash, he's chayev. So what's he chayev for? So there's a lot going on here. Rashi says, chayev chatas b'shoigig, v'koris al zedoinoi, mishum ki es mikdash Hashem timei. If you look in the Bir Hagra, the Vilna Goyen says, toy soifer. The behedi aminu b'teris koyanim, de eno yalo chayev malkis, Either way, exactly what chayiv means is a little bit of a discussion. But the bottom line is, if somebody would take a keli, that's tamei tumas sheretz, bring it into the Azara, into the Beis HaMikdash, the halach is he would be chayiv, sheretz atzmoy, here's the chiddush. But if you take a sheretz, you walk in with sheretz biyadoy, literally. So there the halach is, potter, you're not going to be chayiv. The keli that's tamei tumas sheretz, you're going to be chayv. But if you're walking with the chariot itself, you're not going to be chayv. What's the kasha? Yitziva ba'ara v'giyoyre b'shmei shmaya? Right, in English. The thing that's tamei tumas sheretz, the thing that's tamei because it came in contact with the sheretz, could be more chomer than the sheretz itself. It doesn't make sense. So the Gemara says, not my time, there has to be a reason for this. A makra. So Shmuel said, I know it from a pasuk. What's the pasuk? The pasuk says, mizachar ad nekeva. We're dealing with a zocher and a keva that are tame. So you send them outside the machane. So the pasuk that talks about removing tumah from the machnes of kedusha referred to the tumah as being mizocher ad nekeva. Here's the drasha. The only time you have to remove tumah, or the only time you're going to be chayiv if you bring tumah in, is if the tumah is similar to a zacher and a keva. So what's unique about a zacher and a keva? Mish yesh li tayra b'mikvah. A zacher and a keva become tamei, you can go to the mikvah. Yotza sheretz, shein li tayra. If you have a sheretz, that's one of the Shmoyne Shrotzim, and it paiget, you can't take it, put it in the mikvah, and make it tar. That's not an option. A keli that came in contact with a sheretz, dear Dalach is, you could put it in the mikvah. So again, ironically, counterintuitively, the thing that's tamei tumas sheretz is more similar to zacher and a keva. As a result, it's included v'loyetam was machaneh asher ani shendoichem isleicham. The sheretz itself is different. Very big chiddush. Maybe we have a raya from a brayzim. Zacher and a keva tishaleichu probably kli cheres. Divi Rabbi Yosi Aglili. Rabbi Yosi Aglili said that a kli cheres that's tamei is not included in the salocha. My time, why not? Why is there no chiyuv, again, whatever chiyuv means, but why is there no chiyuv to take a kli cheres that's tamei and bring it into the Beis HaMikdash? Shlav Nishon, probably the less late tied up in mikvah, because we know a kli cheres can't go into the mikvah. What do you do with a kli cheres that's tamei? You tat, you have to destroy it, but you can't bring it into the mikvah. So this is a riot to this drasha. Mara says, loy, maybe it means something else. Misha nasa of hatoma. Maybe the reason the kli cheres is not like zachar in the cave is not because it has no tamei in the mikvah, but the reason it's not similar is because it's not an avatoma. A kli cheres can never be an avatoma. How do you become an avatoma? So an avatoma, we're going to learn about this, by the way, not to get scared, but in the sugya of Reb Chanina Skana Kayanim, which comes up in the early part of Masechtas Pesachim, the third week of Masechtas Pesachim, a lot of tyrus. But the point is that an avatoma is a source of toma. So anything that's a source of toma is an avatoma. A zava, a nida, a yeledes, a mace. These are all avatoma. But there are other ways to be an avatoma. If something comes in contact with a mace, it becomes an avatoma. There's something called tumas medris, if a zav sits on something, right? The special chidushim. But the bottom line is, if you do all the math, you work out all the possibilities of how you could be an avatoma. It's not possible for a kli cheres to be an avatoma. Oh, so that's why it's not like zacher nekeva. Zacher nekeva, obviously humans can be sources of toma, but a kli cheres not. That's why it's excluded. As opposed to saying that what's unique about zacher nekeva is that they have tyra in the mikvah. Zok de gemar. So the bottom line is, what do we have? We have Shmuel's chiddush. Amar Rav Tavi bar Kisna, Amar Shmuel. Very big chiddush. Hamachnis tomei sheretz lemikdash chayev. Sheretz atzmoy potter. It's far you would think it should be the reverse. But that's why it is. Based on what? A drasha. Mizacher ad nekeva tishalechu. The only time we have the chiyuv of aleitamu as machaneyen, of El Michutz Lamachan Etish Al Chum, is if it's similar to Zachar Nekeva. Shmuel Darshan, what's unique about Zachar Nekeva? Tyre b'mikvah. Sheretz has no Tyre b'mikvah, so it's more kuladik. A keli that came in contact with a Sheretz does have Tyre b'mikvah. As a result, it's more like Zachar Nekeva, it's going to be more chomer. Zachar Nekeva, at first glance, it would seem that maybe this machloikis is really totally in the machloikis tanoi. Sheretz shenimtzah, our Mishnah, b'mikdash, a Sheretz that found itself in the base of Mikdash, koyim etzi b'm yonoi. So the koyim takes his gartli, removes it, shleilash that tumah. You don't want the tumah to be the divi Rabbi Yoichan and ben breaker. Rabbi Yehuda said, b'tzvah shaleitz, maitziyoi. You should try to find wood, pshute kliyet, shle the rabbi says that tumah, say you shouldn't be mar b'tumah. So Rabbi Yoichan and ben breaker, like we spoke out when we learned the Mishnah, was sensitive to get the tumah out as quickly as possible. Rabbi Yehuda was sensitive. I don't care how long it's there. My sensitivity is, don't be marba tumah. So the Gemara says, gevaldik. What's the machloikis? Shmuel, maybe. My lab akum if we get the mandam ashloi lashois. The mandam that says, let's get it out as quickly as possible. Rabbi Yochanan ben Broika, kusav ha-machten sheretz ha-mikdash chayev. He holds not like Shmuel. That a sheretz in the base ha-mikdash comes with all the chiyuvim. All the chumras. So as a result, we have to get it out as quickly as possible. But you know what Rabbi Yehuda was makel? He said, let's not, don't use the gartel, don't be marbatoma. Go find wood. It might take 10 minutes. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about shloi lishos. Kosova, you know why? Maybe he holds like Shmuel's chiddush. Hamachna sheres l'mikdash poter. And as a result, it's not such a chiyuv anyways. If it's not such a chiyuv, if it's not that chomer, that's why he was making. But the Gemara says, lo, it's certainly not muchach. A nice hesber in the machloikis, but it's not muchach, that's the machloikis. Could be the kuli hamachai. Maybe everybody holds not like Shmuel. Everybody holds if you bring a sheret, like you would think, pashtos, of course you're going to be chai. Bacha, bacha, machloikis, something else. What? Very simple, like the Mishnah says, Mar Sava Shriye Tomo Adev, Umar Sabra Fushe Tomo Adev. Everybody agrees it's a problem. But at the end of the day, like we said, you're going to have to make a decision. You're going to have to pay an invoice. So the question is, what's Iker? Is Iker Shriye Tomo or is Iker Afushe Tomo? So okay, it's not this machlokes tanam, but maybe Shmuel's halach is telling it a different machlokes tanam. Elikani tanoi. The time we learned in the Mishnah, Eichel might see an oisoi v'chule. What was the machlokes tanam? Rav Shimon ben Anna said that you remove it from the heichel, from the ulam, and from the area that's between the ulam and the mizbeach. These places have tremendous significance when you learn kachem. But those are the areas that you're supposed to remove it from. What Rabbi Akiva say? Kol makom shechayoven al zdoinei kares v'al shigagos echatos misham beitzim. Rav Shimon ben Anna was very machmer or makel, depending on how you look at it. Meaning he was very specific about the areas that you would remove it from. Rabbi Akiva was much more. He says, no, you have to take it out. What? Any place, chayoven, alzdoinei karsh, v'gagasai chatos, you have no choice but to remove it. So Gemara says, my lab alkum iflik, what's the machlik? Because mandam me azara loy. Mandam says, you don't bring it out of the entire azara, only from the places that have the highest level of kedusha, because of a machlik, there's something that's pater. He holds, because at the end of the day, if you would bring it inside, you'd be pater. Meaning it's not so chomer. So if it's not so chomer, don't remove it from the entire Azara on Shabbos, Mukta. No, just remove it from the areas that are the highest Kedusha. Mandamah Mikul Azara Kosav HaChayef. Maybe Mandamah said Mikul Azara is going to be Chayef. I'm Rabbi Yoich, Rabbi Yoich, and said no. Meaning what the Gemara means to say is, you almost need like a little Chasurei Machzer here. Maybe really everybody agrees Hamachne Sheretz is Chayef. What then is the Shaila? The Shaila is something else. Vishnei Mikra Echadarsha, these two Shitas, Rabbi Shimon Ben Anas, also known as Ben Anas, and Rabbi Akiva, they were coming from a completely different angle. They were darshaning a Pasuk in Divrei Hayomim Beis, Perek Chof Tes, Pasuk Tes Zayin. The Pasuk over there is describing after Chizkiyahu HaMelech became king. Chizkiyahu's father was Ochaz, he was a big Rasha. Chizkiyahu did some controversial things to his father after he died. He thought it would be a kapara for him. He went ahead and he did different things. But the point is that Chizkiyahu, when he came into the Beis HaMikdash, he found it was tumah, it was gefelach, it was avodah zarah, which is metame kenida. Right, it was very, very bad. And he had to remove it. So this pasuk is describing the process of removing all the tumah. Vayavoyu akayalim the pnima Beis HaShem. The kiyanim entered the pnima. They entered the heichal. The tahir, to purify it. And they removed all the tumah and they brought it to the chatzar. Then the Levium was standing in the chatzar. They received what the Kayanim gave them, and they took it out to the Nachal Kidron. They brought it out of the Azara. So it's interesting. What happened was the Kayanim went into the Heichal. Then they passed it over to the Levim. Now the Levim couldn't enter the Heichal. They're not allowed to enter the Heichal. Right? To enter the Heichal is a big deal. You can't do a Bir Reikonis, right? You can only enter the Heichal. Vayyavi b'chol Yisrael HaKodesh, right? It's very precise in terms of when you're allowed to enter the Heichal. But the point is that the Pasuk over here says that the Kehanim entered the Heichal, but once they came to the Azara, the Kehanim, they disassociated themselves. They gave it over to the Levim. It was this Pasuk that the Tanoim were debating. Shmak, had to understand. This halacha in our Mishnah is how to learn a pasuk in Divrei Hayomim Beis. What was the shayla? Marsov amidish tani bazar b'levim tum bazar leka. Reb Shimon ben Anas held that from the fact that the Levim took over in Dazara, vayistois, the chumra of tum in Dazara is not such a big deal. Avada,
There's tumah there. But lesser meaning, Rashi, kaloyma. Right? Whenever Rashi says kaloyma, it means he's bothered with something. Not that there's no issa tumah and dazara, but kaloyma, hecha di isa hasab lechamira kuleha. That the tumah and dazara is not so chomer. That's why the Levim did it, not the kayhanim. Kayhanim is reasoning. Let the Levim do it. Don't worry about it. It's not as chomer if the Levim are going to be the ones that are going to do it. And that's why on Shabbos, don't remove it because you see it's not so chomer. Marsava, Rabbi Akiva said, no, ad hecha di levim levim afki kayhanim. There was no reason for the Kehanim. Why should the Kehanim have to get involved in Tumah? At the end of the day, we're dealing with Tumah. The reason we're giving it to the Levim is not because it's not so important. The reason we're giving it to the Levim is because the Kehanim have to be Tahar. And as a result, we don't want them to engage in Tumah. The Kehanim did it in the Hechel. Why? Because only they were the ones that are allowed to enter the Hechel. The Levim are going to take over in the Azara, not because it's less Chomer, but simply because why should the Kehanim do it? In other words, they were debating why this dichotomy. The Kehanim took it out of the Hechel, the Levim took it out of the Azara. Shin Ben Ana said, you know why? Because Vaistois, the Hechel is more Chomer when it comes to Tumah than the Azara. Kehanim are his reason, so let the Kehanim deal with the Hechel where it's Chomer. The Azara is not so Chomer. Oh, it's not so Chomer. If you find the Sher, it's on Shabbos, in the Azara. Not in the Hechel, not in the Ulam, not even Bein Ulam the Mizbech. Right, Shin Ben Ana, he was Marchiv the Gvul a little bit. But he said, if it's not in one of those areas, there's no reason to take it out on Shabbos. Why get involved in carrying the Sherets on Shabbos? No reason to do it. So therefore, he said, but Rabbi Akiva says, no shaykh, it has nothing to do with chumrah. The reason was, is because why would you be metama, a good kayan, if a Levi can go ahead and do it instead? Why didn't the Levim enter the Hechel? Not because of chumrahs, simply because the Levi's not allowed to enter the Hechel. But in the Azar, he's allowed to, that's why let him take it out of the Azar.